The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR, Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on PCTV Select and, of course, listening on the web stream at WTBRFM.com. Sean Sayer here with you this morning on Morning Drive. Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, January 8th already, and we got kind of a little bit of a cloudy but warmer morning this morning for sure. No ice out there like there was yesterday morning. That was fun. We got a great show coming up for you today. We've got Howard Herman here on the show, sports reporter for Berkshire Eagle newspaper. And we will be talking all about all kinds of stuff going on right now. Tonight is the first night of the college football semifinal playoffs. I guess I have to say that's all been playoffs, right? But tonight is that first big game, another big game tomorrow night, and then I think the final game is way in the future. who can remember that anymore? But so much football going on and lots of other stuff to talk about with Howard coming up in just a moment. First, let's get to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and see what we have in store for us today. Berkshire
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs around 40. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. Temperature rising to around 30 after midnight. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with rain likely in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, I don't know. That sounds like a January thaw to me when I start hearing those temperatures in the 40s in early January.
Sounds like a March forecast to me.
It does, doesn't it? Already, you know, and we just suffered through, I thought, was a very cold patch between maybe mid-November and late December where it was cold the whole time. And anytime we had moisture, you know, precipitation, it was going to come down in snow. And all of a sudden that broke, and now we've got what we've got coming up.
And the unfortunate part of that was it never snowed when it was that cold.
Right.
You had the great opportunity. And then we get 5 inches of snow on December 27th, I think.
Yeah.
It was like 3 days late.
Right. Yeah, it was, and it just seemed like every time I stepped out of my house, it was snowing, and I had to shovel another 1 inch of snow, right? I mean, it just didn't stop.
No, it did not stop, and fortunately, my plow guy came. I was able to shovel the walkway with no problems. Any of the time, you know, for a not-so-young guy anymore, you know, it gets a little difficult. Yep. But, you know, I'm okay.
Stuff you got to watch out for is the the nasty stuff, the slippery, icy, you know, stuff that you can't see, black ice.
It's
stuff
been
like
really
that.
The snow's been really fluffy so far.
Yeah,
you know, it's been and I think you said you're a skier.
I'm not a skier.
Oh, you're not a skier.
I have
but
tried
people who
skiing.
Skis probably love this stuff because it's nice, you know, nice good snow to ski on.
I think the ski mountains love it any time that they can make snow. Also, right, and they certainly have been able to do that this winter, which is good. And, of course, they don't want to get so much snow that it scares people away either.
No. This is all true. And we think, and when you think of snow, you think of February, because February is the Olympics.
That's true, and it is coming up, isn't it?
And it's astonishing to think that they've had that Italy has had 7 years to get ready, and their hockey rink is not ready, and might not be ready for the start of the games.
That seems to be a story that happens almost every Olympics, right? We're hearing about they've had 8 years, 10 years to get ready, and they're still not finished with a venue or with their preparations or something like
that. And I am not a jingoist guy that they should all be in the United States, but they should all be in the United States. Hmm. Summer games should be in Los Angeles. Everything is done. You've got basketball arenas. You've got swimming facilities. You've got everything there. Winter games should be like in Utah because you've got mountains. You've got rinks. Mm. You've got the bobsled and luge runs. Mm-hmm. You don't have to build anything brand. You don't have to build $8 billion of brand new stuff like they did, you know, in Atlanta.
I don't think that they should all be in the U.S.
But they should all be places where there is a critical mass of facilities that you don't have to build anything.
They ought to do it the way they do the Super Bowl, which is basically they have this rotating number of stadiums that they always go to, right?
And I have no problem with that. I just know that, you know, I just know that in this country, there are communities that have enough facilities that they don't have to go say, geez, we need to build a pool for 10,000 people for the Olympics. There's already a pool there with a lot, you know, for a lot of people. Yeah.
It's not sustainable. There ought to be about 8 different sites around the world.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Then you go to those on a rotating basis.
My new favorite thing was from, I don't know if it was in the Olympics this time, last time, the Summer Games, or if it was just a national championship, but they can build temporary pools like in basketball arenas.
Hmm.
So,
that's,
you know,
interesting.
Yeah. So, you know,
and
so
then
maybe
when you're done, you just turn it back into a basketball.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe you have the Olympics in St. Louis example. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a couple of arenas, you know, you got enough places and you can put that somewhere and you just move on. But the idea that, oh, you know, this cute little city in Italy is going to have to build everything from scratch is perhaps the stupidest idea, you know, and maybe they needed all those facilities. I'm not going to question that. But if you can't get them ready, don't do them.
I think of the ones down, was it Brazil or Argentina, somewhere down there where they built up a huge, facility, all the different fields and tracks and all the other things and the stadiums and everything they needed to do. And only a number of years later, they were all just falling apart, decaying,
nothing,
right?
Yeah, and nothing was better. Them. Nothing was better than what Atlanta did.
Hmm.
Atlanta's Olympic Stadium, which was a spectacular edifice, was basically torn apart at the end of the Olympics and turned into Turner Field, where the Atlanta Braves played for 20 years until they moved out to the suburbs. Mm. And now Turner Field is the home football stadium for Georgia State's Division I team. Mm. So they were able to reuse. They didn't have to worry about, you know, when they played basketball, they were across the street at what was then the Omni, you know, and they played. And they had other sports events at Georgia Tech with a 10,000 seat arena, and their track. You know, they had all that stuff.
Yeah, not to mention you need Olympic Village, right? You need places to house all these people, feed them all. You need media. You need all the infrastructure.
And the idea, and I know some people who were involved in it, and the idea that they wanted Boston to host an Olympic Games. The more I don't think about that often. But if I think about it, it frightens the bejesus out of me.
Like Boston needs any more disruption of
Like Boston needs any traffic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll look forward to the Olympics coming up for sure, and all sorts of stuff happening in sports around this time. I do want to touch on something that came up yesterday that I'm obviously talking with a newspaper reporter here this morning in Howard Herman, and how important our local newspaper is to have here in Berkshire County, such a treasure, and we don't realize that things are important until they're gone. And there was a news report yesterday out of Pittsburgh that the Post Gazette, I believe, is the name of the paper. Let us start by saying
I grew up reading that newspaper.
Right.
I go back far enough that when Pittsburgh was a 2 newspaper town, and my parents. We got the Post Gazette in the morning and the Press in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. and the Press was the Sunday paper.
Okay.
They were competitors, but they had one of those joint operating arrangements where they sold the same advertising and all that, however that all worked.
But they each had their niche, essentially.
Yeah, and then the Press went out of business during a labor strike.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Post-Gazette is going out of business due to a labor strike.
Yeah.
Ultimately,
so basically, there was a contract that needed to be honored or something, and the paper's been losing money for many
years.
I
don't know how much money. The paper says it lost $350 million over 30 years.
Is that a paper that's owned by a large
company?
It is
not. It is owned by a family in Toledo, Ohio, in the blocks.
Okay.
And they've owned it for as long as, you know, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
They ran it into the ground, in essence.
What did they do wrong, you think?
What didn't they do wrong? They probably didn't, you know, sell it well enough. They probably did, you know.
Because it's funny, because yesterday when I was looking for the link on that paper's news site to read about
you still had to buy a subscription.
It's behind the paywall. I'm thinking to myself, if there's one story you could put out for free to allow everybody to read, it might be the story about how the paper isn't going to be here after.
And if I'm management there, I put everything free now. I say, you know, you guys are closing this, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But they were really good newspapers in big community. You know, this isn't even like what happened in Atlanta on January 1st when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, a legendary newspaper in the Southeast, stopped publishing, went strictly online.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't that. This is, we're closing down the website. We're close. You know, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone on May. I think it's on May 3rd.
Mm.
And
so, tell
it's
me,
a sin.
What do you think the
impact? Made me sick.
The impact will be, because this is, there will be no more daily newspaper of record, essentially, for the city of Pittsburgh.
Well, there will sort of be a daily newspaper of record. The Greensburg Tribune Review publishes in Pittsburgh, online.
Mm.
There will be, you know, the Post-Gazette only published, I think it was Thursdays and Sundays.
An actual physical paper.
An actual physical paper.
But they were publishing every day of the week for news online.
Online every day. I have a number of guys I'm friendly with are sports writers there. It's like everywhere. And, you know, a newspaper is the biggest driver of journalism in any community.
Mm-hmm.
As good as the Boston TV stations are, the Globe drives the news.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, the TV stations, and you see it in Albany all the time when you watch the Albany News, are reacting to stories that were in the Times Union.
Right.
And that's what's going to be missing writ large.
Mm-hmm. What about sports coverage of the paper?
That's going to be really interesting, because in pro towns, you know, I think sports helps draw attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be really interested to see what attendance is like for Pirate games and Penguin games.
Mm-hmm.
Not Steeler games, because NFL games are mostly sold out anyway.
Yeah.
But it will be interesting, and the college teams there.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see, does the attendance drop because there is no major media, you know, outlet covering the team?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I would be really curious about in the sports end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of drops some of the prestige in a way, too, right? If you think about as you mentioned, pro football teams, college football teams, college baseball teams, everything basketball, all around that, you know, you think of Pittsburgh as a major market. If it's a major market without, you know, daily newspaper of record, how does that shape people's perception of the area?
That is part of it. The other part of it is there was a story about 2 weeks ago. Corey Close, who was the women's basketball coach at UCLA, complained loudly that there was no media coverage for a double top 20 game played at UCLA.
Hmm.
You know, no, or maybe they were on the road, I don't remember, but there was like one reporter there.
Mm-hmm.
not counting, you know, student media.
Yeah.
And she said, how can this happen? You know, it's two top 20 teams. It's, you know, as big time as it gets. And there's, right. and I'm not answering any questions by anybody. I know in a lot of markets, NHL, NBA markets, major, you know, newspapers stop traveling consistently.
Mm-hmm.
They would go some places, but not every place. And
just for expenses.
How costly it is
exactly. to do
that. It is pretty expensive to travel, especially in sports, because, you know, especially in sports if you're in playoffs, because those flights get expensive because
mm-hmm.
you're not playing. You know, it's one thing, you know, in a regular season, like, say, for example, if I was covering the Red Sox, I would have all of my flights done, like, in the early spring,
mm-hmm.
so I can get the lowest possible rate on a flight and on a hotel. But that's not cheap anyway.
No,
and
certainly not.
And newspapers have ceased in a lot of places to not travel as much, and I think that gives, you know, I don't know how that helps teams or hurts teams. It certainly means coaches and players don't have to answer tougher questions as often.
Well, and of course, that extends to the politicians as well, right? And those are the kinds of things that newspapers, journalism does, is it poses those questions, not just reading off a press release, but when there are questions that need to be answered, you go to those people and you ask those questions, you get the responses, you dig in a little more, you ask other people what they think, and you get the story, right? I mean,
well,
that's
happened. And I haven't read the story yet because I had just put out the garbage and came here and brought the eagle into the house. If your daily newspaper doesn't exist, nobody knows what Congressman Moulton had to say yesterday when he was in Pittsfield.
Good point.
Maybe
people wouldn't even know he was in Pittsfield.
Also true. And I think that's a case writ large. And I think the bigger, you know, the bigger communities, like a community like at least has, you know, TV that can pick up some of the slack.
Mm-hmm. Although, generally speaking, TV news is, if it bleeds, it leads. Right?
Well, yeah, but they so can, but
the,
there is still
it's the police blotter that they're following.
But there is still the opportunity to at least pick some of that up.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly enough. And, you know, there's no, you know, there's no Nate Harrington from our paper who covers housing. You mm-hmm. know, if papers yep. like that don't exist.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm not suggesting, you know, it's not expensive. I need to put food on the table, you know, and all that. But, you know, all of us writ large are, you know, are the guardians at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And without us writ large, you know, all of the barbarians come through without any problem.
Well, social media is no substitute for journalism. I'll just say that right up front. It is not. You might hear things quicker. You might hear things as they come along, and people certainly do. I see them post it, and I'm hearing about things from that source earlier than I am from the maybe traditional media sources. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's true. You're getting a lot of opinion mixed in there. You're getting a lot of hearsay and a lot of conjecture. And then, you know, facts end up coming out later on. The facts are generally uncovered by journalists.
They are. And, you know, in all areas, if it's not just, you know, what goes on at City Hall. It's what went on last summer with some issues up at the Williamstown Theater Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That without the Times, who I think broke the story,
and
those of us who followed up on it,
yeah.
nobody knows.
Right. Yep. More of that to come, unfortunately. But Howard Herman,
I was just sickened. It made I cried yesterday a little, not because of the people who I know there. But that was, you know, every morning, you know, it would come to the back door,
mm-hmm.
and always read the paper before I left for school.
Yep. And, you know, some of that I feel like is nostalgic, and I understand it, too, because I delivered a paper when I was 11 years old, and, you know, those are great times. Those times are over. We understand how that doesn't necessarily work that way anymore, but the underlying impact of losing daily, you know, solid journalism and newspapers, that will have an impact for years.
And I have grown to not be as bothered by what happened in Atlanta, as disappointing as it was, because I have often said to people, I said, you know, we're still doing the same stuff we did. It's just a different delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm older than you. When I was a kid, it was strictly AM radio and
sure.
three television stations.
Right.
Gradually, FM comes along and cable comes along. Then, you know, satellite radio comes along. It's still radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different delivery system.
Right.
And I feel, and I've grown to feel that's the same thing in my business that, you know, I don't think anybody in my office is doing anything that much differently than we did 30 years ago mm-hmm. when I first started. But, you know.
But the delivery model is different.
The delivery model is different. The pressures are different because deadlines are different, you know.
Yep. The advertising is different.
But it's still basically, you know,
The core product is the same.
And the core product on, you know, on Sirius XM isn't a whole lot different than the core product on the WBEC was back 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's still radio.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Right. Speaking of different radio, you're listening to WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Boy, there's a segue. You are a professional.
Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. Howard Herman, my guest here this morning, a sports reporter for the Berkshire Eagle. I do want to get into what we sort of headlined with, which was the college football playoff happening tonight. Couldn't be a better time to have you on the show this morning to talk about that. Kind of a toss-up game, would you say, tonight, Miami and Ole Miss? Is that you don't see one versus the other being a dominant team there?
I think if both teams play really well, I think Miami wins comfortably.
You think?
Because I just think they are bigger, stronger, faster.
And there was a debate beginning about whether Miami should have been in the playoffs
exactly.
at all.
Let me suggest that the Mississippi-Georgia game last week might have been, and I use the phrase a lot, might have been the drunkest football game I've ever seen.
Especially at the end, right?
Except for maybe the fourth quarter of the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game on Sunday
that
night.
That was pretty crazy, too.
But
you had to stay up for both of those.
The Mississippi-Georgia game was the most entertaining football game I have watched this year. It was great fun.
Yeah. Didn't know how that one was going to end.
No, you had no idea how that one was going to end. But Miami's win in the round before that really put up some red flags for me in the sense that they're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can beat Ohio State.
And right? You didn't just beat Ohio State.
You beat
Ohio State with a capital BEAT.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were the number one team.
Right.
They
were untouchable the whole season.
Yeah. They were the team everybody.
Except for Indiana, maybe.
They were the team that was expected to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
as they usually are.
as they usually are,
mm-hmm.
and Miami took them out behind the woodshed,
mm.
and that's why that's why I would be concerned if I am Mississippi tonight.
Yeah, and that's been kind of a Cinderella story, also, right? The Ole Miss story, a team that had typically sort of been a bit of a doormat in the SEC.
The only thing anybody really knows about Mississippi football. It's where Archie Manning and Eli Manning played football.
Right.
Played college football. Otherwise, they've just been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just a team in the SEC. They
yep.
haven't been, they've been okay. They've had good seasons. They've had bad seasons. But nobody, you know, when you think of SEC powers, it's Alabama, LSU,
mm-hmm.
Georgia.
Yep.
The three of them.
Sure.
Nobody thinks of Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Mississippi in the Final Four.
Yeah. And that kind of goes to the narrative this year that things are different now. right?
Well, things are much different.
It feels like there's been a shift a little bit.
Yeah, because everybody's, it's somewhat akin, and it's not the same because money is different.
Mm.
But it's like the NFL with its salary cap. Every team in the NFL has the same opportunity to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where the difference comes in with those teams is...
Except for the Jets.
Well, no, even the Jets have the same opportunity the Patriots do. You have to be
Agree to disagree.
you have to be... They have the same pot of money. They just choose to spend it badly and all of that.
That's true.
That's where the problem lies. The Cincinnati Bengals have the same chance to win an NFL title as the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
They just are badly managed.
Mm-hmm.
And while every college football team does not have the same opportunity to win a national championship, the NIL money and the ability to pay players and get them to transfer has leveled the playing field more than it used to. It was 5-10 years ago when Alabama's third team, third stringers would have been good enough to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't keep those guys as long because
they would sit on the bench, they'd wait for their turn, right? They were talented just like everybody else, but they had to wait. They didn't have an option to go somewhere else.
No, they didn't have an option to go somewhere else. And I think in the long run, it's been good and bad, because I think what happens is, the one constant joke of college sports is that commercial that runs during the NCAA men's basketball tournament that says, 90% of our student athletes turn pro in something other than their sport.
Right.
That happens to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good message.
If you're a third stringer at Alabama, and you don't get on the football field, and you graduate with your degree in finance, and you stay in Alabama, you become successful because you played at Alabama,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to work at a high-powered insurance company, a high-powered bank, a high-powered investment company, and you're going to make a fair amount of money. You're not going to play in the NFL and make millions, but you've got an in to having a good life.
It feels like it's a lot less about the academics now, though. There was at least a veil that you sort of said, okay, well, when you're going to college, you're going to play for a college team, you're going to get your education for free. That's sort of the bargain, right? You're going to play for us, you're going to make the school fame and fortune and money, but you're going to be educated, and you're going to have an Alabama education, you're going to have
a Syracuse education,
exactly,
whatever, yeah.
Right? Is it really about that anymore, or is it really only about NIL and
yes
money
and no.
deals and...
Yes and no. There are, I think what tends to happen is a lot of if you're not getting re-recruited by a power team, a lot of kids will look for a place where they can get their degree,
mm-hmm.
and get paid. So I think there's some of that. It's not as much as it was, where everybody, picked a school, because they wanted to go to that school necessarily.
Yeah.
Now they, they go and play and spend a year and then go somewhere else. But I think what happens is if you are an older player, you are picking a school to finish up or to get a post-grad degree.
There are some players that have been playing for their team have been eligible to play for 7 years.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And
how is that even possible?
I don't know the rules. I can't be sure. But for example, the 0-12 UMass Minutemen. A lot of kids who go there, who transfer in as post, for their graduate year,
mm-hmm.
go right into the McCormick School to get their master's.
Mm.
So they are using,
The eligibility
to get a master's degree in one of the finest, management schools mm-hmm. in America.
Yep. Well, that's positive, at least.
That happens in a lot of places because you see an awful lot of Ivy League football players, you playing an extra year at the FBS level. And a lot of them are going places where they can get a master's.
Yep.
Because, you know, because most of them are not, you know, as good as they may or may not be, probably aren't playing professionally. Mm. So they're taking advantage of all of that.
Now if we can just get UMass to win a game.
Well, that's another question. But as I'm going to write about this weekend, you know, I don't know. I was watching Sunday, early Sunday night before I flipped back to the NFL game. The Division III championship game was on. And Wisconsin River Falls won its first ever Division III championship. And it was like 8 years ago, they were 0-10.
And so you're telling me there's a chance.
And they've only had winning seasons for the last 4 years. So and that was all under the same coach. He started his career, and I looked it up. It was like 2-8, 1-9, 2-8, 3-7 for like almost a decade. Then they put up that 0-10 stinker, and then gradually get better.
Well, UMass might actually have a chance.
They're never going to win a national championship.
Yeah.
Because that's the rarefied air of the superpower teams.
UMass might actually have a chance in Division III. We'll go back.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Right? All right. Howard Herman, my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. And
they're going to bring Syracuse kicking and screaming with them.
Syracuse headed down that same road, believe me. We'll be right back after our short break here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
Are you struggling with your pet? Berkshire Humane Society is here to help. We have a pet food pantry, low-cost cat spay and neuters, free pet care advice, and if you're in the hospital or in crisis, temporary foster care. If you need to give up your pet, we'll accept your animal with kindness and find them the best new home possible. Please call Berkshire Humane Society at 413-447-7878.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
If you thought you knew your music, think again. It's time has come to experience a full spectrum of music. You're locked into the Majestic Michelle Radio Show. I'm Michelle, and every Tuesday from 10 to noon, we're bridging the gap between genres, generations. We'll give you the smooth, iconic moves of Elvis, the raw power of Shinedown to Alabama and everything in between. Please listen to 89.7 WTBR-FM every Tuesday from 10 to noon.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. Happy to be here and happy that you're along for the show as well. Howard Herman here from the Berkshire Eagle Sports Department, sports reporter at the newspaper, and all kinds of stuff to talk about in this last half hour of the show. First, let's go to the weather forecast one more time and see what the National Weather Service has in store for us today. Here we go.
Berkshire Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, mostly cloudy this morning, then becoming mostly sunny. Highs around 40. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. Temperature rising to around 30 after midnight. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with rain likely in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 40s. South wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 70%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you go. A little bit warmer weather forecast coming up. I'm hearing rain tomorrow night. So we're in one of those patterns. We broke out of the cold pattern, but we didn't break out of the storm pattern. So we've still got that going on. Don't have to worry about the ice like we did yesterday morning, at least. All right, Morning Drive returns here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Howard Herman, we left off with the college football playoffs that we were talking about. We didn't get to the second game, which is tomorrow night's game. So we get two nights in a row. My wife's asking me, when's the football going to be over? It seemed like it was all football all the time.
Well, it's never going to be over because as soon as the week after the Super Bowl, the spring league starts.
Yeah.
So it's all summer.
That's true. But you got Oregon versus Indiana, right? Indiana seems to be the heavy favorite there, even though Oregon's a heck of a team. I mean, you don't get to be in the semifinal of the college football playoff without being a really strong team, but here we are.
That's the game of the weekend, you know, as far as interest is concerned. Mm. You know, Indiana has captured America, even more so than Mississippi. Mm. I think Mississippi's big issue is the drama around Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
But Indiana has been a great story all year, a mediocre at best program over the decades.
You would never think of Indiana as a football school, always a basketball school.
Indiana won a Rose Bowl back in the early 60s and hasn't, you know, and has had...
Back when winning the Rose Bowl meant you were the national champion.
Or something, yeah.
Close
but
to
now,
it.
Now, you know, and have had... You know, good players and have sniffed around a couple of times near, you know, the top of the Big Ten, but never really, you know, getting any good consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they are. Whether it stays consistent, you know, remains to be seen. But as of right now, you know, they're, you know, if not the best team, certainly one of three, you know, there are three Big Ten teams in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Seems strange to say that Oregon's a Big Ten team, but it is.
Yeah, that is odd, isn't it?
It is a little for football. I don't, you know, I've had this conversation with other people, and I think we've had this conversation here before. For football, I'm not bothered at all by this because everybody from Syracuse to UMass to Pittsburgh to Boston College. Everybody gets on an airplane if they're on the road.
Yep.
Everybody gets on an airplane Friday afternoon and flies to where they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
They play the game on Saturday. They fly back Saturday night. So there's no missed classes. Mm-hmm. There's no missed nothing, assuming they're all going to classes.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's getting on the bus, basically, anymore to go play your Saturday game.
Even if they're getting on a bus.
Not too many more.
But even if they're getting on a bus, they're getting on a bus Friday afternoon, and they're getting to where they're going Friday evening, if it's a short trip.
Yeah.
So having said that, you know, so I'm not bothered by Oregon playing football in the Big Ten because Oregon's getting on a plane Friday night, Friday after class, and they're either flying to L.A.
Yep.
Or they're flying to Michigan. It's a little longer flight, but it's still just a flight. It's still the whole weekend. It's when you play the other sports in your conference, the idea that the Oregon basketball team, using them as an example, has to go play in East Lansing on a Wednesday night is, to me, ludicrous beyond anything.
Yeah. And then somehow still be a student. Or
pretend to be a student. Yeah. Yeah. But the idea, if I were king, I would break up every basketball league and turn them all into regional leagues. Mm. And let football continue to do what football does. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, it doesn't matter. Because everybody's traveling at the same time and doing all of that.
Yeah.
But regional basketball leagues and regional sports leagues would do much more for the sport, for those respective sports.
Yeah, fans would love it a lot better too. I think of the old Big East, and that was a nice little cluster of schools that played each other.
Yeah, Creighton's in the East, so but
it's not quite as bad as Cal Berkeley
playing in the ACC. No, and again, for football, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because Cal's getting on a plane in San Francisco and flying somewhere on Friday.
Yeah. Yep. You're doing it two or three times a week.
Yeah, therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Well, so this last game then, tomorrow night, you're thinking Indiana takes it? What do you think?
I would like to see Indiana take it. Oregon's really good.
Mm.
And Oregon, ironically, I think the team that wins this game, could be the difference between which quarterback is picked first and which quarterback is picked second in the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon's quarterback and Indiana's quarterback are considered the top two quarterback prospects in the current draft. Mm.
How about the guy from Vanderbilt? He was pretty good.
Yeah, but he
didn't turn out so well.
He's
for them.
Small.
Yeah.
He's smaller. And do you want a guy, since you brought up our state university, earlier, do you want a guy who lost to UMass?
I didn't know that. That's
great. Yeah, when he was at New Mexico State, that was Don Brown's team beat him.
Mm.
Pretty handily too.
Oh, wow.
But
everybody got to learn sometime.
You do.
Yeah.
And he may even be back next year. I don't know if he's got an – because I think he's sued for an extra year of eligibility because of the junior college thing. But to me, it's all going to be about, which quarterback performs better in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if you're not rooting for Indiana, you don't have a heart. Because it would be great to see them get to the national championship game.
And who do you think gets to that national championship game? What's your best guess out of those two games tonight and tomorrow? Who do we see playing for that championship? Tough one.
Yeah.
Could go either way.
I'm going in. I like Indiana, and I don't think Ole Miss gets there.
Yeah.
So an
Indiana-Miami final.
Yeah, I think the push and the pull at Ole Miss regarding, what Lane Kiffin has taken from his staff to go to LSU, and some of those guys have gone back and forth a lot. That's going to, I think the chickens come home to roost for them a little bit in this game, and I just think Miami's too physical.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them, and
To say that none of these teams in the semifinal and the four teams have lost an appreciable number of players to the portal at this point, right? None of those players wanted to leave and go somewhere else before they got to play their game.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that really has bugged me the most is that all of these, there are a lot of teams there were teams in the playoffs who had bunches of kids bail.
Yeah.
And
so basically when you see that team in the
It's not the same team.
In the bowl game, whatever the bowl game actually means anymore, half the team is the third or fourth stringers because everybody else has bailed.
And my problem with all of that is, when you think about it, they're getting paid now, a lot of them.
Yeah.
You don't just quit. It's different when you weren't getting paid.
Well, it's because the NCAA isn't actually putting any rules up.
Well, the NCAA doesn't have NCAA doesn't run football.
Wouldn't they have some control over when the portal could open, though?
Because
Somebody talked to Charlie Baker.
In large measure, the Supreme Court did that. Mm. Decades ago, when the Supreme Court said the NCAA could not control television for football, that opened the floodgates to everything. That what we see in football are the children of that Supreme Court decision from decades ago.
But is there an organization that controls how the portal works?
What is sort the portal? Sort of, but it's like, you know, it's what the athletic and the NCAA, just for the record, much like the MIAA in Massachusetts and the New York State, is not a monolithic thing. Mm. The NCAA is really run by athletic directors and presidents.
Yeah, it's an association.
Right? It's an association. Yeah. It's the same thing. I know people who complain about the MIAA. In Massachusetts, Bob Baldwin, the director up there, is not making all of these decisions. Mm-hmm. All of the decisions that are made by the NCAA are made by the schools. Mm-hmm. And I just don't, maybe there needs to be an adjustment. I think there needs to be adjustment on portals and coaching hires, because I think the unfortunate thing, compared to the NFL, everybody's leaving jobs quickly in college football because they have to get to their new place so they can recruit because of when the window opens.
Yeah.
That's why
recruiting must be all completely different now.
It is, but that's why, and it's been that way for a while. That's why all these coaches leave right after the last game. Mm. Before their team goes to a bowl game,
They need the time to get to the
exactly,
new place.
Exactly, because that's when the window opens. Mm-hmm. So maybe if the schools all sat down and changed when the windows open, a lot of the craziness goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it, to have at least some predictability in that. Everybody could understand when things were going to happen.
Exactly.
Howard Herman, my guest here on this morning's Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Let's go on to NFL for a bit and Black Monday. Always an interesting day, the day after the last game in the NFL regular season when we see all the coach firings. This year, what did we get? Six? Five? I don't remember. We already had a couple that were open from the season when the folks got fired. And I guess the big surprise would be John Harbaugh, right? People did see that it could potentially happen, but I don't think anybody really thought it would.
There was a meme on social media with the goalposts in Pittsburgh, and on either side it said, Tomlin fired.
Yeah.
And in the middle it said Harbaugh fired.
Right. Based on the kick of one guy.
Yeah, based on the kick.
Yeah.
Which was the second worst kick I've ever seen. The only kick
that
I saw.
Was a terrible
kick. The only kick I've seen that I remember was worse than that also involved the Steelers. It was when Mike Vanderjack, the kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, or in the words of Peyton Manning, that drunken kicker, missed wide right. In that playoff game.
It was painful to watch.
It was unfortunate. It happened. Yeah. Players, mess up.
Yeah, and it's pressure. I mean,
it's pressure.
This is a kicker that doesn't miss too many.
It's a kicker who doesn't miss too many. The irony of it was he was kicking to the easy end of the end zone at Acrisure Stadium. Because if you've seen Steeler games on television, one end zone is open. Mm-hmm. And the other end zone is enclosed. And that was the enclosed end zone where there's limited air, where there's limited wind.
Yeah.
And he, like the kick that Chris Boswell missed, the extra point, that was apparently blocked.
Okay.
I
didn't see a block, but yeah.
I didn't see a block either, but people have since then had slowed down, the all-22 tape and saw a block.
Huh.
So be that as it may.
Yep. Well, that's part of the game.
And he didn't miss by much anyhow.
That was a much closer one.
Yeah, that was like, that was like right next to the upright.
And that at that moment, you say, well, that may or may not affect the final outcome of the game. It was only 1 point, it was made it a 2-point game or a 4-point game or whatever.
Well, what it might have done was it might have kept Baltimore from going for a tie.
That's true.
They might have wanted to try to win or lose the game on the field.
Yep.
You know, and maybe they would have gone for it on fourth down.
Yep.
You know, instead, if they were down three instead of down two.
Right.
Because the field goal would have won them the game.
It didn't look good for Aaron Rodgers there at the end of the game. He was looking like that was going to be it.
And I don't think it was anyway, but it's entirely possible.
And yet he got a reprieve and he's going to go to the playoffs anyway.
He's going to play in the playoffs. That game on Monday night could be like 6-3.
Mm.
Because
remind me who the Steelers are playing.
They're playing Houston, neither team is particularly prolific offensively.
Mm.
So it could be a really low scoring football game.
Yep. And the Patriots are lined up to play
the LA Chargers.
And the Patriots coming in at the number two seed.
The other Harbaugh.
That's right. The one's still in the playoffs.
The one who is still working.
Yes. Now, where does John Harbaugh land? Because obviously he's a coaching talent. He's young enough. He's not going off into the sunset. Someone's going to grab him. A lot of people are talking about the Giants.
That's entirely possible. You know, he's still got a couple years on the contract.
Mm.
So he's getting paid.
Ah.
You know, if I were him, maybe I'd take a year off and do television.
Yeah, go in the broadcast booth. That's what they do, right?
Go sit at somebody's desk on Sunday morning, you know, and chat.
Jason Garrett said he might come back.
Oh,
did you see that?
Thankful, you know, good for him.
But that's what they do. It's a bit of a revolving door, isn't it?
Not nearly as much as you think.
No.
Most coaches, you know, who had bad years, who've been bad, you know, aren't getting new head coaching jobs. I mean, the talk right now is that somebody's going to hire former Atlanta coach Raheem Morris as their defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of guys might get coordinator jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But
some of the guys are just better as coordinators, right? I think of Josh McDaniel. I would love to just see him stay as offensive coordinator at the Patriots. That's where he's good. He's stellar at that job.
He's very good at
head coach, not so much.
Very good at, you know, here's the problem with that. Most of these guys get hired by bad football teams
mm-hmm.
when they get their head coaching job from being an assistant.
Like the Raiders.
Like the Raiders. like, you know, it's like I've always, changing sports on that, I always wanted Mike Krzyzewski to go to the NBA,
mm-hmm.
and I really, really wanted him to go to the Lakers when they had an opening.
Yep.
Because the...
But he was so comfortable at Duke,
no,
right?
No, but the conventional wisdom is that college coaches can't coach in the NBA. Chuck Daly won an NBA title. He was a college coach.
Mm-hmm.
When John Calipari got fired by the Nets, they were a better team than when he got there.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with most of the college coaches who get hired by NBA teams is they get hired by really, really crappy teams. And they don't.
And they're hoping for a miracle.
And they can't wave a magic wand and turn them into, you know, turn them into a great team in a year or two.
Yeah,
so then they all get fired. And the narrative is, see, college coaches can't coach in the pros.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's something you said earlier in the show, which was it's about the management a lot of times.
It's about the it's about the players. Mm-hmm. You know, the general manager has to has to help the coach get good players. I think, you know, and there are some coaches who are not good. Gerard Mayo, for example, the former coach of the Patriots. Because
mm-hmm.
by and large, I think this is the same Patriots team as it was last year.
Yeah, for the most
part.
Mm-hmm.
There are new players elsewhere.
Yeah.
But what Mike Vrabel and his staff have done, you know, to turn this franchise around
mm-hmm.
in a year, you know,
from
that,
a 4-13
to
a 13-4.
That's
right?
That's the one thing. But when Bob Kraft hired Gerard Mayo, Patriots stunk the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and he didn't make them any better.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, a coach will get hired, and Kevin Stefanski, twice coach of the year in the NFL, gets fired because he's coaching the Browns,
mm-hmm.
and the Browns may be the worst organization in football. What are you going to do?
Yeah. They'll find somebody who's next and put them in, and a couple of years later, we'll be talking about the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Because the Browns aren't the Patriots, the Browns aren't the Eagles, the Browns, aren't Pittsburgh, the mm-hmm. Browns aren't Baltimore, mm-hmm. and I think
maybe they'll get John Harbaugh.
And I think if Lamar doesn't get hurt, John Harbaugh is still coaching.
Yep.
And so much, because he got hurt in the middle of the season, and they had to play backup.
Yep.
And they didn't do great. That's probably why they finished below 500.
Yep. They might have won a couple more games.
One or two more games. Yep. If they win two more games,
they're
in the playoffs.
Sure.
And Mike Tomlin's out of a job.
Yeah, right.
But
now he's the longest tenured coach, I think, in the NFL, probably, Tomlin.
Yeah, and of course, that goes with their franchise, because since, I think, 1968, they've only had three coaches.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive, actually. That's loyalty. Hey, let's move on to the MVP conversation, because a lot of Patriots fans would love to see Drake May deserve it, I think, in a lot of ways. Of course, the other contender there is Matthew Stafford. I've seen some stats put up, and you could make an argument for either one of those two for MVP. Or is it a third dark horse candidate? We don't know.
There might be a dark horse candidate out there. I wish they would look at defensive players, more than offensive, more than just quarterbacks or running backs.
Yeah.
But if they gave it to Matthew Stafford as a lifetime achievement award, I'm fine.
Mm.
I think May's had they've been better.
Yeah.
But the other part of that is the NFC West, where Matthew Stafford plays in, mm-hmm. is a much tougher division mm-hmm. than the AFC East.
Certainly this year.
I have joked often that Tom Brady was the luckiest quarterback in football. And not because he was a lucky guy.
Yeah.
But every year that he played, the Patriots started 6-0, or at worst 5-1,
mm-hmm.
because of how bad the AFC East is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Stafford's in the play, had a really good, and the best, and the Rams aren't even the best team in that division.
Yeah.
That's
Seahawks.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle, San Francisco, mm-hmm. LA, that's a gauntlet.
Yeah, that's
tough. To get through those, San Francisco and Seattle twice.
Who's the fourth one? Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to play those teams, four games against, two of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
How about
Coach of the Year? Who do you see this year? About a minute left.
Coach of the Year, it's got to be Vrabel.
You think so?
Yeah, just because of what he's done.
The big turnaround.
Yeah.
The obvious change from one year to the next.
Yeah, I think that, I certainly think, he's first among equals. I think, Mike McDonald up in Seattle,
because mm-hmm.
that's quite a turnaround also. You can go one way or the other on that.
Yep.
And again, I wouldn't, if they gave it to McDonald, I wouldn't go kicking and screaming about it.
Yeah.
But,
it seems unlikely that you get the MVP and the Coach of the Year both go to the Patriots. I don't think that happens.
No. You tend to not, because if it's an MVP, they give, the MVP. It's like, that's like why, like Belichick hardly, wasn't Coach of the Year. Why I don't think Chuck Knoll, the Steelers, mm-hmm. ever won Coach of the Year when they were winning four Super Bowls in 6 years.
Yeah.
That's why Phil Jackson didn't win a bunch of Coach of the Years, because somehow, although when you have players like, you've still got to coach those guys. And I still think those coaches deserve much more credit than they ever got.
Like we were saying about the Oscars and the Grammys, right? They don't always give those awards to the album that, when you look back 20 years, you say, why didn't they get it? Who did they give it to that year? And that's just what happens.
You mean like when the Sting won Best Picture instead of Clockwork Orange?
There you go. There's many, many examples. I would have to have a list, but yes. Only 30 seconds left. Howard Herman, thanks so much for being here today.
Always
a pleasure talking to you. Yep.
Great, great to be here.
Absolutely. And did you see the Springsteen movie?
I did not. I actually hadn't seen the Springsteen
movie.
I have a copy.
I wanted to.
I just got a copy of the book that I just started.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of figured you would. But yeah, I got to get out and see that too. I don't think it's in theaters anymore. So now we got to wait for whatever streaming service it ends up on.
Not one of the, you know, I don't like streaming services necessarily, but it's not a movie I feel like if I missed it in the theater, I can watch it on my TV.
Yeah. That one definitely. Yeah. I think that one's a TV type movie.
Yeah, it's like when the Avengers comes out next summer, you have to see that in the movies.
That's it. All right, Howard Herman, thank you. We'll see you again on Morning Drive tomorrow morning. Take care, everybody. Drive where you want.